technology has hit us at jet speed and we are not equipped.
Right.
And the TQ, so the new IQ is a TQ, which is a technology quotient, is very, very high in children. It is under poverty line in parents. So you can never bridge the two together. But at least when parents are equipped and understand, because they are the ones who handle devices and hand over devices to children. So five critical takeaways for parents. One, introduce age-appropriate devices to your babies. Your babies don't need, in fact, a fifth grader told me once, ma'am, children don't need entertainment, they need interaction. And I've always been floored by what children tell us. So a lot of wisdom coming in from them. So the second thing parents must understand is online gaming is another area of huge threat, at the same time opportunity for children. Understand game ratings and responsible gaming. So there are various ways through which you can understand how to select the rating of an online game. For instance, if you've heard of PUBG, PUBG was played by 7-year-olds, but it's a 16-plus rated game because it is high on sexual content. Now, nobody understands these things, which is why a little bit of reading up, a little bit of searching online will really help. Talk to children about threats that the internet may pose. So when you're giving them the power, so internet is a tremendous power, but with power comes in responsibility. And that needs to be instilled into children very, very early. Four, understand red flags. So internet addiction is something that we've been working for a long time. Internet addiction does not happen overnight.
Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a vodcast and podcast that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you are new to our channel, consider subscribing to it and hit the bell icon so that you may never miss an update. Our episodes go live from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. daily. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to have someone who's giving back a lot to society, Sonali Patankar. Sonali, welcome to the show. Sonali is the founder of Responsible Netism, which has been set up for promoting cyber wellness and responsible online behavior for online protection of children and adults. And she's also the president of Ahan Foundation. So Sonali, let's talk first about responsible netism.
Sure.
What is responsible netism?
Responsible Netism is a nonprofit that is committed purely to the cause of child online protection and safety since 2012. And we realize that internet is something that we cannot do away with. But how do we behave on the internet is a responsibility that each one of us needs to take up.
Correct.
And since we very strongly believe that children are the future of our country, and investing in children's health is investing in the country. So, which is why we focused on protecting children in cyberspace who are masters of cyberspace, but yet a little negligent about safety and precautions. So, which is why we channelized all our energies towards ensuring that they are safe and parents are well guarded to protect them also.
And what are the main issues that are faced because of cyber wellness and responsible online behavior?
So we realize that mindfulness in cyberspace is a topic that is not covered at all. We're all talking about cyber security, which is an investment that needs to be made globally. But we're not talking about cyber safety, which is the human interaction with technology. So we have smart technology, but are we smart enough to cope with it? And are we also equipped to deal with technology is a challenge that we're all facing. So we realize that it is important for us to not probably be at par, but at least understand and befriend technology in order to safeguard ourselves. And that's where the journey began. Over the last 8 years, we've had some very, very critical cases of children not just being vulnerable to cybercrime, but committing cybercrime big time. For instance, children start hacking at grade 3, and then the most commonest platform hacked is Bajuwale Uncle ka Wi-Fi. And this is 10 lakh children experiences that they have shared with us. Unfortunately or fortunately for us, there has been no platform that allows children to discuss their internet behavior. So we're all talking about everything under the sun, but the space that they belong to, and also give them the responsibility of protecting themselves. So it's been a very tough journey being a nonprofit, but I think it's worth all the effort.
So Sonali, you know, you just gave me a very brief example of Bajoria Anke ka Wi-Fi. Without giving names, can you share a few anecdotes or examples for our viewers and listeners?
Sure. So we've had children always wanting to become hackers, and hacking is something that is more self-respect and status and pride in class. Mm-hmm. So apart from hacking, we've had fifth graders, sixth graders stalk other children, and cyber bullying, if you have heard of, is one of the most commonly committed cyber crimes. One out of three children are cyber bullied, and if we've realized that children's language has changed, and it has the words that they use or the content that they use is extremely derogatory.
Right.
And this belief that nothing will happen to me in cyberspace, you know. So because you're not visible, because you have an avatar, or because you are not confronting anybody, you can say whatever you want. Mm. But a word of caution here is every word you put on the internet stays there even after we die, which is why we're leaving digital evidences of what we put out there, and the reason that you need to be careful about so that you don't fall into trouble. We've had children morphing images of other people, of teachers. In fact, now in the lockdowns, in the last 1 year, we've been struggling with, in schools have been struggling with online lessons because everything is online today.
Right.
So from hacking the school domain and declaring that the school is shut and there will be no education, or morphing the teachers' pictures and defaming them just out of fun, or harassing other classmates are some of the very few top of the mind, not so serious engagements that children have. But we've also had a lot of children trading with weapons and drugs in the deep web, dark web. So that's the range that we're working with currently. And these are very young children, grade 7, 8, 9 probably.
Wow. So from a parent's perspective, what are some of the symptoms to watch out for?
So I believe parenting in the digital era is the biggest challenge that we're all facing.
Correct.
So I believe more than coping with the pandemic, we're all coping with technology, and that is something that we are not geared towards at all.
Mm.
We've also realized that technology has hit us at jet speed and we are not equipped.
Okay.
And the TQ, so the new IQ is a TQ, which is a technology quotient, is very, very high in children. It is under poverty line in parents.
Mm-hmm.
So you can never bridge the two together.
Mm-hmm.
But at least when parents are equipped and understand, because they are the ones who handle devices and hand over devices to children.
Mm-hmm.
So five critical takeaways for parents. One, introduce age-appropriate devices to your babies. Your babies don't need, in fact, a fifth grader told me once, ma'am, children don't need entertainment, they need interaction.
Mm.
And I've always been floored by what children tell us. So a lot of wisdom coming in from them. So the second thing parents must understand is online gaming is another area of huge threat, at the same time opportunity for children. Understand game ratings and responsible gaming. So there are various ways through which you can understand how to select the rating of an online game.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you've heard of PUBG,
mm-hmm.
PUBG was played by 7-year-olds, but it's a 16-plus rated game because it is high on sexual content. Now, nobody understands these things, which is why a little bit of reading up, a little bit of searching online will really help.
Mm-hmm.
Two, talk to children about threats that the internet may pose. So when you're giving them the power, so internet is a tremendous power, but with power comes in responsibility. And that needs to be instilled into children very, very early. Four, understand red flags. So internet addiction is something that we've been working for a long time. Internet addiction does not happen overnight. You know, and what children do in cyberspace is never known to parents. It's known to friends and other people or peers probably. So talk to children. So we talk about parental control devices or apps, but we promote communication is the best parental control.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no communication within the family in the house, children are bound to go overboard and never share what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And fifth, most importantly, make the environment in the house conducive and comfortable for a child to come and share difficulties, threats, dangers that the child may pose online.
Mm.
So offline, we're all talking about never talk to strangers, never share your address.
Mm.
And in the offline, in the online world, you're sharing personal details with nude pictures to strangers within 3 minutes of conversation. So these are boundaries that need to be drawn. So there have to be 4 critical rules of safety, but about 10-15 guidelines which allow children to navigate there, but also entrust the responsibility of safety onto them. And lastly, I think it is important for children and parents to understand how threatening cyberspace could be. And it is not that the bajwala ka bachcha is always the one at fault. Acceptance that your child may be in trouble, may be causing trouble, is also critically important to introspect.
Very interesting. But my question to you is, you know, I'm a much, much older parent, but, you know, my children are now ready to be parents themselves, and they're what you would call slightly older millennials. Now, they themselves have grown up in the internet age. And, you know, we still can't stop talking about what the internet is doing for millennials. How do you expect millennials to be able to discipline their children?
So I believe millennials are far more advanced and luckier to be growing up with technology. Mm-hmm. And I also believe they're more evolved because they've grown up with technology. Right. We have just been blown by technology, so we're not equipped. But with the millennials, they understand that space better than their parents. So grooming children on cyber hygiene is something that automatically comes for them. So I remember when we had TV in the house, and in the ruckus that used to be created with parents and us fighting on the TV screen time. With millennials, they understand challenges. They are much more at par with technology than we are. So communicating with children becomes easier, and they're both in the same space. So it's not something that they're unaware of. And I think millennials are the ones that we're very hopeful about, because they will be more evolved with technology. Hence, these hygiene guidelines will trickle down through them to younger children.
Very interesting. So Sonali, you know, you spoke about cyberbullying. And you said 1 out of 3 children are probably cyberbullied. Can you give me an example for our viewers and listeners of what happens in cyberbullying? I mean, I'm sure, you know, 74% of our viewers are under 34, so they will understand. But for older people like me who don't understand what is cyberbullying, help me understand.
Sure. So cyberbullying is actually, I would not say a crime, but it is a threat on the internet, which can be registered that is a crime, where you are threatened, harassed, defamed, insulted in cyberspace using any internet platform. So we've all been ragged in school and college, and we've taken it by our stride, and we've been able to cope with it. But in cyberspace, because there is anonymity, because nobody knows who's on the other side, or probably you know that they are friends, there is no consequences is what the assumption is, which is why children just go out there and start harassing, threatening each other. So we've had a couple of cases recently where, out of irritation, so that let's call A and B, the children A and B, grade 7, both boys, best of friends, and A a little dominant, B a little naive and, you know, shy. So A asked B to do something which B was not convinced about, and so he denied and refused doing the task, and A lost it. So he went back home, he downloaded his WhatsApp DP, he morphed the DP into a semi-nude picture, created a very small WhatsApp group of 5 friends and posted it on the group. The moment the group was posted with this picture, there were horrifying comments, memes created, videos that were posted, and slang that was used. Coincidentally, B's mom's number was being used. So B was operating his mom's number on WhatsApp. And when she saw that group, she almost had a panic attack, because why would anybody want to harass another friend, another child, with the kind of comments that were put out there? So she was able to hide those from the boy for a while, but eventually this got viral and the whole class got to know, and it reached him through another platform, through Instagram DM. And the boy had a panic attack. He had to be rushed to the hospital. And the parents were clueless about how to intervene and react and respond, because they knew that their child was under tremendous distress. But at the same time, the child doing it was also equally naive and, you know, vulnerable, but was doing it out of fun. So in a lot of cases like these, children or minors, that we call, are subject to crime to legal implications, but you must understand that parents are 99% liable to legal punishment because the SIM card and the device is registered on the parents' name and they're the legal guardian. So a lot of times, parents are liable to legal punishment when children commit cybercrimes. We've had children even instigate younger children for self-harm, you know, challenging or dares, if you've heard of. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of cases where this trend has been picked up and children take it very, very seriously. The reason why we feel this is happening is because of peer pressure. Everybody is doing that. Everybody needs to be a part of the group. And I would do anything it takes to belong to my community. So the concern is no parent would teach their child to be aggressive, violent, hit, kill, harm anybody. But the child is facing a huge challenge of the peer pressure. So children tell us, hum mummy daddy ko to pata lenge, mana lenge, par abhi wo situation mein hamare group ke saath rehna bahut zaruri hai. You know, so children are extremely multitasking, they're very mature in many, many ways, but at the same time, very, very innocent also. And I think children are struggling, you know, in this particular space. So I always keep saying, if I was in grade 7 and I had technology, I would never pass grade 7. I would stay there forever. But children are managing life. Children are managing internet amazingly. At the same time, they need to be groomed to be safe there.
Interesting. So, you know, when you receive some kind of a complaint like this, how does responsible netism step in and what do you do?
So we are an organization that is working towards education on cyber safety within schools. So we work with the Ministry of Maharashtra Government Education. We work with schools and colleges to educate children from grade 5 to 10 and their parents about online safety. We're also a referral organization that provides legal guidance and psychological support for any online distress. So after the education, we also conduct various conferences on online safety and roundtables, or we also work on advocacy because a lot of guidelines, recommendations have been put through us to the government for child online protection as a cause. So when cases come to us, usually they are cases of minors. We have to either scrutinize what has happened, what is the damage, who is the perpetrator, who is the victim, and what is the condition, and then refer them for psychological support. We've realized that the damage is far more deeper and long-term mentally than physically or, you know, socially. So ensuring that there is child is safe. At the same time, we're not crossing boundaries and allowing any threat to escalate further. So there are times when we've had to actually hand over cases to the police or take it further to the child welfare committees. But with minors, usually parents come to their decision of not taking it further because it could damage their life further. But children don't understand these consequences, which is why they take things very, very casually and lightly.
Very interesting. And for a child and its parents who's affected, and for the child and its parents who is, if I can use legal term, the perpetrator, what is the recourse under law?
There are a lot of sections in the IT Act, which was formed in 2000, amended in 2008, and again there is another amendment coming in. There are certain guidelines on various crimes, but there is no specific law or clauses for minors, which is why in the IT Act, there are different sections of the IPC also used, where, for instance, for cyberbullying or trolling, there is no particular law in the IT Act. But you use defamation, harassment of women, using foul language from the IPC sections, which are applied then in the case that is run. But with minors committing cybercrime, when they're very, very grave, that is when parents are then legally liable. So for instance, if there is some banking platform which is hacked, which is a corporate VPN that is hacked, or children are trading with drugs and weapons in the drugs on the deep web, that is when parents are, we've had parents having to pay a fine of 2-2.5 lakh rupees with 6 months of imprisonment, depending, ranging from what the kind of situation where the crime has been committed.
So, you know, when I was preparing for my conversation with you, I was reading about what's happening in the world. And I was surprised to find that the Ministry of Education in Singapore has a separate department for cyber wellness. Now, that was a very interesting term, cyber wellness. So I had two questions for you, really. One is, what is cyber wellness? And number two, do we need a similar kind of a ministry or a sub-ministry in India?
Question two, I will answer first, definitely. And we're working towards it because we think cyber safety, cyber wellness is an umbrella which has five critical elements. Internet safety, security will definitely be one of them. Mental well-being in cyberspace. So we don't even have centers for internet addiction, which are defined in the state or in the city. So even if you have a person who's addicted to the internet, you really don't know where to send other than government hospitals or private clinics. So centers like these, curriculum has to have a lot of education on online safety. So all of these areas we're working on. So cyber wellness is very importantly talking about your well-being in cyberspace, and that responsibility is a combined collective responsibility of the government, of parents, of children together.
Okay. And your term of internet addiction, I don't mean your term, what you just mentioned. At what stage, and I'm sorry, I'm asking very basic questions because I don't know a lot of these, but I'm sure a lot of our viewers and listeners would also want to understand. At what stage do you tell or do you say that this person is an internet addict?
So last year in the pandemic, we've had 1 year olds addicted to devices, lost vision in the eye because the moment the baby cries, there is a screen put up and the baby is doing what the baby is supposed to do. So we've had children between age 2 to 4 because everybody was online, either studying or working. Devices were babysitters and children were hooked on to devices. So there are a lot of symptoms that are very, very casually missed by parents. And there is no age because we've had 85-year-olds addicted to games and we've had 3-year-olds addicted to screens also. So it is a very popular thing to do, but addiction is something that needs to be understood and picked up very, very early. So with children especially, since we work in that domain, hiding internet behavior or hiding the phone and taking the phone to the toilet, 3-4 important things completely disrupted: sleep, academics, food, and behavior. So with teenagers, it is anyhow disrupted. So this doesn't happen overnight. And this is not a phase. So I want to bust this myth with parents. Ye raat bhar mein nahi hota hai aur ye phase se bahar nahi nikalte bachche. It has to be reported and there has to be help sought outside. Fortunately, help is available. You just need to reach out in time. So lying, children lie about their internet behavior or things at home not being very, very conducive for children. And so they find refuge on the internet where they find a space very, very safe for them. Behavioral issues which we've seen in children. Screen time, we've had children having about 18 hours of screen a day with gaming. So it really begins with understanding what your child is doing out there to talking about how do you deal with it. So how do you justify? The problem is we just don't justify. ये मत करो, ये बेकार है, ये बकवास है, ये गंदा है, ये बुरा है. That reasoning does not, they don't digest that reasoning. But if you tell a young, and this doesn't start at 18, it starts at 2. So if you tell a child that there is age appropriateness, you don't go and vote, you don't go and cast your vote, you don't go and drive under 18. Similarly, there are things on the internet which are not age appropriate and there are legal consequences too. For instance, you can't have an Instagram or social media profile under 13. You can't have a YouTube channel of your own under 13 unless it is monitored by your parent and legally signed by your parent. So these are guidelines which are missing altogether and nobody talks about it. So if these are conveyed in time, I think the world will be a better place.
I'm sure. And, I've got time for one or maybe two more questions. I'm going to switch to one or two questions for you personally. For someone who's doing so much work with children, who's really helping so many parents trying to resolve the challenges of the internet, from where you stand today, Sonali, what does success mean to you?
I think very simply putting fulfillment of responsibilities I undertake and not worrying about the outcomes.
Okay. And my last question to you, and this question is going to be a question on failure. You know, I have a new book that has just come out on failure. And I've often said that parents in India or Asia don't teach children it's okay to fail. We're always told, class mein first aao, line ke sabse aage khade ho, etc. And that manifests itself in our behavior patterns. So if you've seen traffic in Delhi, you'll know that at a traffic light, when there should be 3 cars, there'll be 9 because everyone wants to be first, right? And so on and so forth. But yet we fail. So my question to you, Sonali, is what have been your learnings from some of your mistakes?
I think I want to dream big. I hold my dreams. You know, I'm a little conjuice with my dreams, and my mentors have been telling me there is no harm dreaming big. No, you're not. So don't let go that fear. So don't shy away from dreaming big. Two, I think financial independence is very, very critical to sustain any organization that does not receive support. Right. There was no recognition for 6 years of the work that we did. The 7th year is when we started getting in some money and recognition. So stay strong, and perseverance was something that we believed in. And I think for me personally, discontinuing my education has paid me big time, because I should have completed my post-graduation and PhD, which I was always wanting to do, but I was so carried away with the work that I was doing that so now I wish to go back to that.
Wonderful. Sonali, thank you so much. You know, I've learned so much today from you. I mean, learning new things about cyberbullying or the tech quotient, I'd never heard of TQ in so far. I learned a lot about internet addiction from you, which again, I didn't know. I mean, I watch a lot of internet or work on the internet, but now we've got to be careful, no longer 18 hours a day. But thank you so much, and good luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you so much, sir. It was a pleasure knowing you, and thank you for giving me this platform to share our work with all your viewers.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.